Festival.
Once again, here we are at the crossroads of everything that intersects what's happening in Washington, D.C. Right off the bat, we like to kick it around with our friends from Talk Radio News, Justin Duckham in the wings. The NSA chief, General Alexander, was on the warpath again, in a sense, talking about 50 terrorist plots worldwide have been thwarted and over 700 in the United States. In the meantime, we have immigration to talk about, too, as well, and that the Gang of Eight saying it's going to boost the economy, this immigration bill, so it looks like they're all pals again. Justin, let's start with the NSA chief, Alexander. He was really heated because this was a rare public deal for him, you know, where he's being quoted all over the place, and obviously it's on the tube. What did you pull out of what the director of the NSA had to say?
Well, first off, you should look at the fact that this was not a hearing that was really designed to be critical of the NSA or to really get at the heart of a lot of questions that people have had. In fact, the title of the hearing was How the Disclosed Programs Help the U.S. and Why Their Disclosure, in fact, Harms the Country, to paraphrase it, but that was the general gist of it. But we did hear that selling point come across, that they have prevented at least 50 terrorist attacks, including high-profile ones against the New York Stock Exchange, and that about 90% of those were, in fact, prevented through the PRISM system, which is one of the disclosed programs that has been the most controversial. There are still, of course, some lingering questions over, you know, whether or not these attacks could have been prevented through, you know, either traditional police work or less invasive measures. But nevertheless, that was the message that they were selling, and that was the message that came across.
Yeah, talk about the prison system and why that's so poker red hot and controversial, the way that they're using the prison system to get this information.
Well, basically, it's a program that the Washington Post disclosed, wherein a lot of the bigger-name web companies have essentially private servers and backdoors wherein the NSA can gather private information. This is something that they have been doing in conjunction with a lot of these companies, although many of them, in fact, have gone on the record and denied it. But nevertheless, it looks like a sprawling, massive system that really documents quite a bit of what average Americans do online.
All right. So then we move from the NSA, because we're going to be talking about what's happening here for a long time, to immigration. And now that's moving through the Senate, and they're talking about that the U.S. Senate would cut federal budget deficits by $700 billion over the long term. How do they expect to do that?
Well, basically, the idea is you have more Americans in the workforce, you have more high-skilled workers, and you'll also cut down on a lot of the costs that come along with illegal immigration, such as you know, people not paying income tax or whatnot. But nevertheless, although that has a nice price tag and is something that a lot of people are looking forward to, it's still pretty stalled in the House. And it just got a little bit worse, or a little bit harder today, when John Boehner came out and assured reporters that he was not going to try to pass any legislation unless it has the support of the majority of Republicans. That is the Hastert rule. That's something that Boehner has broken a few times, but that he has told a lot of his colleagues, both in public and behind the scenes, that he is not going to be breaking this time. And tomorrow we have about 25 congressional Democrats who are going to be arguing with Boehner to try to drop the rule and meeting with him in person to try to sway him. Essentially, they're arguing that the votes exist right now in the House through moderate Republicans and Democrats to pass the Senate bill as is. But nevertheless, it looks like Boehner is drawing a pretty firm line in the sand here.
How about this story about from the Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel saying he's going to allow women into the Navy SEALs? Were there a lot of people talking about that in D.C.? Because, man, that's the final glass ceiling or big wall, if you want to call it that. What was the reaction?
Well, the reaction was pretty interesting. This is something that is not going to be fully implemented until 2016, but has had a lot of people chattering. And today there was a commanding general of special forces who was in the Pentagon, and he expressed some hesitancy over letting women join special operations, noting that there has not really been a situation to see how you know, a lot of these women will really perform, arguing that this goes beyond just you know, physical capability and whatnot, and whether or not they would be you know, able to operate in that environment, and arguing that this has essentially been untested. However, it doesn't look like that's anything that's going to stop this, since this is a you know, pretty firm top-down demand to make the armed forces more equal and more reflective of American society. But nevertheless, it looks like we're probably going to be seeing some having in high and coming from higher level officials.
You know, we're always curious with movie stars. They release how much the highest paid actress makes and what the highest paid actor makes per picture, that kind of stuff. Nancy Pelosi, it comes out that she's worth more than $24 million, that she is on a list of high net worth individuals, and she makes six times as much as the House Majority Leader, Eric Cantor. Do people in Washington gossip about that kind of thing?
They sort of do. It's sort of an open secret that a lot of these people are obscenely wealthy, either through their own portfolios and their own investments or, you know, through their spouses. You know, we know that John Kerry was one of the more wealthier people because of Teresa Hines Kerry. We know that Harry Reid, through his investments, has made a boatload, and he actually lives in the Ritz-Carlton in Washington, D.C., instead of more modest accommodations that a lot of other lawmakers have. So it's not really necessarily surprising. But it is going to be a good fodder when a lot of these people go after, you know, lawmakers for you know, some of the smaller stuff.
There you go. Justin Duckham, we'll talk to you again. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, coming up on the rest of this hour here on America Tonight, of course, each and every Tuesday, we go to our man in Hollywood, Stephen Shohat. We're going to ask him about Superman. If it's not such a great flick, how come it is really killing it at the box office? What's with the crush as far as the dollars and cents are concerned? Maybe it's that people don't really realize that it's a stinker of a movie. Of course, that's some people's opinion. Victoria Jones, a colleague of Justin's, tanked the movie for us earlier in the week. I've talked to a few other people who have seen the movie, and they didn't have great things to say either. Kind of the similar thing about it being too long. Anyway, we'll talk to him about that and critics and movies and all that good stuff coming up. Also, the Senate and immigration seeking this compromise. Is it really going to happen? I said I didn't think it was going to happen. I still stand by that based on some of the conversations that I've had, not just with Border Patrol-type people, but with people that are they're on the ground every day at the Hill listening to the conversations. By the way, a final in overtime, Miami has forced a game 7, 103-100. They came back in this game and stuck it to the San Antonio Spurs. I happened to be watching the tail end of it. I couldn't believe it. They had it in the bag. That's why it's never over until the final buzzer, because I really would have said to you, I think San Antonio pulls this out and they win in Miami. It didn't happen. In sports, my friends, there's nothing more exciting, though, than seeing a game 7. However, the momentum has shifted for sure the way of Miami. Speaking of momentum shifting, if that's what's happening in the IRS scandal, some of that momentum has started to shift, definitely in a different direction, but the let-up is not happening. I think the IRS, with all the scandals, or the government with all the scandals going on, they were hoping that this would sort of drop down. Now we have a new poll that says roughly half of all Americans think the White House was behind the IRS decision to target conservative political groups. Wow. That means that they think the Obama people were trying to give him a leg up. That's what that means in translation. If you feel as though the White House was in charge of telling the IRS to go after the softer targets, I think, of the Tea Party people looking for tax-exempt status. Hang with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
On the other side with us, four soldiers were killed in an attack at Bagram Air Force Base. Once again, I mean, this place is like a hornet's nest. So until we're out of there, we're not out of there. And how did they die? They died after an indirect fire attack in the eastern part of the, the country, obviously, because it's at that base. And people don't realize that, I think, sometimes the mortar attacks that would pop up and around the base. If you remember when Cheney was over at Bagram, so this was years ago, there was actually some nut that tried to be a suicide hero who drove through the gates. And the idea was to get to Cheney and to blow the place up or part of it anyway. So in this case, the attack happened hours after the White House announced that the U.S. is going to meet with the Taliban for the first time to negotiate a peaceful settlement to end this war in Afghanistan. I know there's something about meeting with the Taliban. Wasn't it the idea that we were shutting down the Taliban? Now, one of the conditions is that they have to cut all ties to Al-Qaeda and end the violence and accept the constitution of Afghanistan. What are the chances that that's enforceable? I go to a meeting with you and I say, yes, our people will gladly cut our ties to Al-Qaeda. And yes, we will sign this constitution. Bye-bye, U.S. When I see the flags fly away, that's when I turn tail and do what I want to do. I hate to be cynical. I'm just saying. They're going to have this meeting in Qatar where the Taliban open an office for the idea of directly negotiating with the Afghan government. So this attack happens just, you know, the same day that international forces handed over control for security of the entire country of Afghanistan to their security forces. I mean, that's it. Boom. It's your baby. We're not in charge. Don't look at our lieutenants. Don't look to us. It's up to you. I mean, that's a huge milestone. Huge. And they've been working at this for a while now, to make it actually kick in. So the day it kicks in, four of ours get killed. We can't get out of there soon enough. And this was indirect fire. It was an indirect fire attack. And so, you know, you be the judge. Obviously, people not happy about the Taliban. I guess we're going to negotiate. And the switch in security, unfortunately. Unfortunately for the families of the four that were killed. I mean, they're just not four soldiers. They have relationships and families and ties to communities. And they've made sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice, in serving in a war that people don't care about in the United States for the most part. And that's why on this show, just as an aside, I mean, hey, it's a talk show. But I have always felt this, that we can never, ever, honestly, do enough to thank and support our military. And unfortunately, we don't really do that. By what's being said, it sounds like it, sometimes with what you hear coming out of Washington, but really it's not enough. It's never, ever, ever enough. So in the meantime, while that's happening, we hand over the reins. Now we're also giving support. We're getting ready to hand off some weapons to the so-called Syrian rebels, who we don't know who the rebels are. I mean, we know who some of their faces are and who may call himself the head honcho today, who might be someone different tomorrow, but we are doing that. And the whole reason is chemical weapons, chemical weapons, chemical weapons. This was our line in the sand. The president said we cannot stand by as people are killed with chemical gas. It's being turned on the people in Syria. So this is it. We've drawn the line. And they're looking at a whole different wide range of things that they're going to support the rebels with. They won't tell us a lot of details on it, but we know it's weaponry. We know that's one of the things. It's not just that. There are also some other things that are being offered up. So the allies are with us. So, you know, our allies are starting to react to and try to increase their support in response to what's going on with Assad, and then make decisions on other actions down the line. That's what's so scary. Making decisions about further actions on our own timeline. So what does that mean? The more toxic Syria gets, the more possibility we get involved in this. I mean, this is huge. Leaders of the world's largest economies gathering for the G8 conference in Ireland. The Obama folks under pressure to take more of an active role in ousting Assad, whichever way it all happens. It's not going to happen with the no-fly zone, though. That's for sure. So we're starting to do the arming up. We know that. We are watching as we've handed over the reins. And now in the middle of the G8 summit, this is part of the conversation. You know, the president had what seems to be a cantankerous, anyway, conversation you can imagine on the point of Syria with Vladimir Putin. You know, just 15% of Americans said in the NBC News Wall Street Journal poll that they favor military action in Syria. Only 11% want to provide arms to the opposition. 11%. I mean, you can slice and dice these polls however you want to, but I think that's pretty clear that most Americans are not for military involvement, really in any way, in Syria. Because we are weary of what's happened in Iraq and now what's happened in Afghanistan. And it's long overdue to be gone from the sands and the problems of the Middle East. But now we are certainly back in this, because we cannot say, with Russia hitting us back over Syria, we cannot say that we are out of the conflicts of the Middle East. And then we see what's happening in Turkey, too, all the protests there, as if we didn't need that. Of course we didn't need that. So Russia taking swings, Russia backing Assad, the U.S. backing Syria, allies backing Syrian rebels, same thing, doing that. And so it's pretty wild Thursday, let's just put it that way, especially with how the momentum has switched, how it's switched. And fear has to be the word to describe, I think, what's happening on both sides of this thing in Syria. I mean, the Russians are saying the information on Assad's use of chemical weapons is just nonsense. It's fabricated, just like the weapons of mass destruction that were said about Saddam Hussein. And Russia's parliament, their International Relations Committee, said, and this is a quote, "Obama is going down the path of G. Bush." The Kremlin opposes any international action against their client, because he's their client, Assad. And they say they're going to continue to do what they were paid to do, and that's fulfill a contract for the S-300 missiles as a way to deter outside military intervention. So we are definitely at odds. Russia's in one corner, we're in the other, and we're pushing against other forces and what's happening. And supposedly, okay, let's have these peace talks, but let's see how far the peace talks go. By the way, when Syria's government signed that contract with Russia, how much do you think the Russians got paid for this? They got paid $900 million. $900 million is a big difference maker, and really that's what Russia should say. Hey, you're a capitalist country, sorry. Oh, we want peace. Oh, we want peace so badly. But we also want our $900 million. Sorry, U.S. But we want the big check that's coming our way. We got partial payment. We're waiting for the rest of the payment. What do you hear at the tail end of the show? What the NSA chief has to say, we talked about a little bit at the beginning, defending vigorously what's going on at the NSA, how many plots were thwarted, all that kind of stuff, and more of the conversation that 9/11 could have been prevented. Do you think it could have been prevented? We're talking to Stephen next here on ATN.
Weakened by GMOs, stressed out about money, and blasted by the electric environment. Hi, I'm Pastor Jenny, and that was the state I was in back in 2010. Then I learned about RNA drops. I learned that 97% of my DNA that scientists have called junk is actually packed with millions of gene switches that play a critical role in controlling how my cells, organs, and other tissues behave. I learned I don't have to put up with disease, decay, or decline like I'd been conditioned to believe. I began taking RNA drops, a 100% natural formula designed to turn on those switches and provide me with amazing health and joy. Learn more about RNA drops and order a free sample today. Visit rnafreesample.com. That's rnafreesample.com. Or call toll-free 888-577-3703. Pay only shipping and handling for a free 30-day supply of RNA drops. Get the information you need and the health you want at rnafreesample.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
When you need it the most, will your generator, power equipment, or vehicle be ready? Gas and diesel fuels go bad quickly when stored, and more than half of generator failures during disasters occur as a result of expired fuel. PRI fuel stabilizers keep your fuel fresh for when you need it most. Nuclear power stations, emergency service providers, and ships at sea rely on PRI fuel stabilizers. And you can too. Call 888-776-9373 or visit PRIproducts.com to find the dealer nearest you.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. On placing a silver dollar in a book explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, thanks to Dan Pilla, you can get the tax help you need to end your tax nightmare.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce or eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. With the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. Or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Springtime is sale time at Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big and stock up at herbalhealer.com. New customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's spring specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale, CoQ10 with Hawthorn, colon enhancer, sea cucumber, super fam and super male plex, plus glucosamine chondroitin, our best-selling liquid CalMag vitamin D, and our colloidal minerals, all on sale for spring at herbalhealer.com. And Herbal Healer also offers certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at herbalhealer.com.
That would be a little snippet from The Man of Steel. A lot of people were excited about going to see this. In fact, I was saying that I really wanted to see it. I thought I would catch it over the weekend. I didn't go and do that. So now I've been very heavily dissuaded by people I know who have seen it, who hated it, who said it just, you know, it just did not live up to all the hype. It wasn't good. They'd rather go see Iron Man 3 if they were in the market for action. They would go see that again versus plunging themselves into this world of Superman. And, of course, coming out this weekend is World War Z, which might be a monster hit. And speaking of monsters, Monsters University, kids will absolutely go for that. So Man of Steel did rake in big bucks, however, over its first week of showing, and most likely it's going to probably add a little bit more. I mean, will it be the biggest of all of the summer? I don't think so. Star Trek Into Darkness has been pretty big, and I already mentioned Iron Man 3 has shattered all kinds of records, and there's still some other movies that are coming out that are certain to be pretty, I think, pretty hot at the, you know, at the box office. So Man of Steel has absolutely taken a, I think, a back seat for some to what the original Superman was like. And, you know, maybe that's the problem. In the world of remakes, so often we're just longing for that. Or Hollywood knows, okay, this is going to be, this should be a hit because it really trips a lot of, triggers a lot of things for a lot of people. And, you know, we'll redo this. And we'll be able to recoup what we spend in an action movie. But I don't know that they're going to, do that in this one. It wasn't quite as expensive to make as like an Iron Man 3, but it wasn't cheap either. No action movies are cheap to make. All right, in the wings is Stephen Shohet, HollywoodStories.com. You can go there, Hollywood Stories. Of course, short, entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movie. Pick up the book. There's all kinds of versions of it. Stephen, how are you doing?
Hey, great, Kate. How are you?
So Man of Steel, did you go and see it? What'd you think?
I did, and I had big problems with it just the whole way through, unfortunately. And it's one of those movies that's kind of polarizing, where maybe the fans of it are determined to make it a big hit, and really resent the critics for giving negative reviews to it. It's an interesting phenomenon. It happens once in a while with certain movies, but I had a lot of things. I didn't enjoy it at all, I have to be honest. And probably for me, the worst thing, and I guess it makes me a traditionalist, is the portrayal of Jonathan Kent, who in every incarnation of Superman I've ever seen or read has always been wise and wonderful, and probably the main reason why this alien kid turns out to be a Superman and wants to save everybody and be a hero, because his father passed down this morality to him, and his adopted father. And in this movie, I found Jonathan Kent's actions and advice very, very off-putting, without trying to give it away. But it just, I just can't understand it. Now, other people, I got into discussions, and other people said, well, he's trying to save his son from this and from that. In the context of the movie, I just found it paranoia. There was nothing to save his son from in the times when it happens. And boy, is it different from any other Jonathan Kent. And it really had nothing to do with Kevin Costner, I don't think. The writing, it was just, really off-putting to me. And that wasn't the only thing. There were a bunch of things that I objected to, so.
Yeah, you weren't the only one, and some people told me they thought it was too long. Did you think it was too long?
Yeah, but that's not because it's 2 hours and 20 minutes. That's because it's boring. I mean, JFK is a three-hour movie, but, yeah. You can complain about the courtroom trials, but it's riveting. So, yeah. I mean, it's got nothing to do with the length of the movie. It's got to do with pace. That's one thing Walt Disney was once asked, what's the secret to being a good filmmaker? And he said, keep the scene short. Make the audience want more with every scene. And even that might not always work. I mean, Woody Allen movies, are short, and some of them I really enjoyed and some of them I didn't. So it's pace is the problem. Give a comparison, like when you see The Dark Knight, for example, I mean, you might criticize the Christopher Nolan Batman movies, but all the actors, like playing the mobsters, the police, and even the terrorists and the military, they're bringing something to it. I mean, their scenes are meaningful. I mean, they're putting out, in this movie, Man of Steel, it was like you didn't connect to any of those little side characters. None of them had a good moment or a magical moment or an engaging moment, in my opinion. Now let me say, you go to Ain't It Cool News, Harry Knowles loves it. Now, some of the comments are like, Harry, you're being paid off by the studios, right? I think that's unfair to say. I think he got his legitimate point of view because he hasn't liked other big studio movies. So, I mean, there are people who are just rabidly loving this movie. And the thing is that the people who don't like the movie stay away, but they don't take the studio's money away. The people who do like the movie can go see it multiple times and make it a super duper hit. So, you don't have to please everybody these days. And when you have, this interesting phenomenon with this determined fan base to support a film, I think a similar thing happened with The Phantom Menace, where it got terrible reviews and the Star Wars fans who loved it were determined to get behind it and determined to put it in the box office stratosphere. And it's also happened a bit before the internet came around, too.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. You sent me a list, and I was looking at the list, and I thought, oh, it's so true. Sound of Music, man. Do the critics like The Sound of Music, or was public phenomenon?
Yeah, right. It was, Judith Crist, she was talking about the seven children are loathsome, and W.C. Fields was right that this, nobody with diabetes should go see it, and she got clobbered with negative letters. And the same with Pauline Kael. I mean, people resented those reviews so much, and it was, at the time, the biggest hit of all time. Didn't matter that Julie Andrews, co-star from the Broadway play My Fair Lady, said, "This is the first time I've ever seen a movie and I'm rooting for the Nazi." Didn't matter. Didn't matter that Christopher Plummer, one of the stars of the movies, referred to it as The Sound of Mucus. I mean, people went and saw it 100 times, some people. I mean, it just, and by the way, I'm a fan of it. I really enjoyed it. But, I mean, that just shows you. I think now there's a difference between then and now, and that's the internet. And the internet has made it possible. It's made it more democratic with the reviews. And so suddenly, people like Roger Ebert, the late Roger Ebert, they're more of just an opinion rather than a revered sage telling you whether the movie is good or bad that you look up to. And there's, I mean, so many people, obviously everybody has a completely different opinion. And one person can give out this thought out analytic view saying why they didn't like this and why they didn't like that and make literary references and give history, and they can be countered. Well, I like it, so there. That's it.
Yeah. So. Yeah, Rotten Tomatoes that's Rotten Tomatoes. My brother swears by that. And that's public opinion. That's people rating the movies, and, of course, that's rentals. But it goes to show you how things really have changed, like you say, because of technology.
Right, and last time I checked, Man of Steel was in the 50s for the critics and in the 80s for the users.
Wow.
People I know, they're not motivated to put a review on Rotten Tomatoes, but the fans are. I mean, they're fired up to do so.
Yeah.
So, it's one of those things that makes it unpredictable. And conversely, I think a lot of the Star Trek Into Darkness fans really want to make sure that movie doesn't do as well. I'm sorry, not the fans, but the people, old-time Star Trek fans, there's a lot of things they don't like about Into Darkness, and they're not behind it. They're really against J.J. Abrams. And that doesn't bode well for the next Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
They're just really, really, and I'm a fan of J.J. Abrams myself. Yeah. I mean, I really enjoyed those Star Trek movies.
Yeah, so
fine. But I think it's funny. There's a difference between Superman and Star Trek, where Superman, there's sort of a circling the wagon thing going on, and in Star Trek, there's like let's try and kill this franchise.
That's a good analogy. I love that. Perfect way to end this. Stephen Shohat, you are a treasure, the master storyteller. Pick up Hollywood Stories, HollywoodStories.com. You get the audio version, all that good stuff. Thanks, Stephen. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it, Kate.
Coming up here on America Tonight, don't go away. People are up in arms over spying. We'll talk about it next.
For virtually anyone can hack your cell phone and track your calls, your texts, your emails, your every movement, but only if they can detect a signal. Stay one step ahead of hackers and Big Brother with a Blockit Pocket, a custom-made pocket infused with pure silver that creates a complete Faraday enclosure for your cell phone. For free shipping to the Lower 48, visit BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com. Enhancing health and privacy.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy-free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is Renovation Teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation Tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.
Her hair is hollow gold. Her lips sweet surprise. Her hands are never cold. She's got Betty Davis eyes. She'll turn the music on you. You won't have to think twice. She's pure as New York snow. She got Betty Davis eyes. And she'll ease you. She'll unease you. Hugs better just to please you. She's kosher. And she knows just what it takes to make a pro blush. She got credit problems, stand on the side. She got Betty Davis eyes.
Yeah, the NSA chief. For all the secrets of spying, can't stop talking. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney at the tail end of this Hour of America tonight. Blah, 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 blah. He goes on and on and on. He is desperate to tell anybody who will listen to him that, no, don't worry, we weren't trashing you. We weren't data dumpster diving on you. We weren't doing that. Please, please trust us. And he's doing it pretty loudly. He was doing it today on the Hill, talking about what really happened and how many plots were thwarted and all that kind of stuff. And this is General Alexander. He revealed pretty much the extent to which NSA systems could be vulnerable to technicians, too, by what he calls misusing their access. So that's what he's saying Edward Snowden did as what is called a systems administrator. And that's the position that Snowden held. He said the NSA has about 1,000 of those positions. Most of them are held by contractors. They don't know how Snowden gained the access to all the classified material, you think? And I think that they're embarrassed that he had the access to it. And I think it was pretty easy. According to Snowden, it was very easy to get a hold of it. So part of what was discussed included what was stopped, because that was what Alexander kept talking about. How many things, how many plots. You have no idea what we've been able to do thanks to these programs. And if we didn't have these programs, we wouldn't have been able to stop some of the worst possible things, like the subway blowing up. And if we had the data surveillance programs that we have now, especially the two most controversial ones, like this whole PRISM thing, we could have prevented September 11th. We would have been able to prevent that. That's what he's saying. We wouldn't have had that major attack on our soil, and we've been able to stop others thanks to the programs that we're running that are getting trashed everywhere. It's not right that they're being trashed, because these have been very, very successful. And Wall Street would have been blown apart. That's another terror plot. In fact, he's saying that they foiled 50 plots worldwide. Really culled through 700. That was the latest number that I heard. What's in accuracy? 50, 700, somewhere in between. You know, who knows? But it seems to be they're settling somewhere on the lower end of that. And most of these are things that we're already aware of, by the way. So it's nothing that we haven't known. These are things that were foiled that we were told about that came out. And they're saying we're very transparent. We set up the FISA court so that we would be transparent. And that's the secret court that is set up by the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act that authorizes the two disclosed programs, one that gathers the phone records, another that tracks the U.S. Internet servers by foreigners with possible links to terrorism. So the president is also vigorously defending the program, too. He was on Charlie Rose's show and talked about it and said, you know, we're going to have to find ways where the public has an assurance that there are checks and balances in place, that their phone calls aren't being listened to, their text messages aren't being monitored, their emails are not being read by some big brother somewhere. We're not doing that. And we keep hearing about the New York subway bomber, Najibullah Zazi. That happened in 2009. We knew about Zazi. We were totally aware of Zazi. So this isn't new, but they're saying that if they hadn't had the program in place, they wouldn't have been able to stop him. They wouldn't have known about it. They wouldn't have gathered that information. And this is clear cut. So it's a legitimate counterterrorism tool. And it's non-invasive to people with no terror ties. And it's not at all trampling on civil liberties. And even the president went so far to say with Zazi that, hey, we might have caught him in another way. We might have disrupted it because a cop saw that he was suspicious. He turned out to be incompetent. The bomb didn't go off. But we are increasing our chances of preventing a catastrophe like that through these programs. All right, so that sentence right there, we are increasing our chances of preventing a catastrophe like the one, those through these programs. Does that make it right? Does that make you feel comfortable? Do you feel like, okay, you know, I got to back off, Jack, because I'm buying what they're selling. They could have prevented 9/11, for goodness sake, if only they had been able to go through all the phone records. But they weren't going to go through my phone records because I have no ties to terror. But that's the problem. It could be so easy to amp it up and twist it in the wrong direction. And remember, I'm for the ability of the government to be able to have tools in place to try to stop terrorism, but not to twist the Constitution so far backwards and forwards that we don't even recognize it anymore, and it's like reading another language. So these examples that are being thrown out are ones that, you know, we've known. They're so far nothing new. I think they have to rewrite the script. If they're going to tell us something new, then they got to tell us something new. We haven't heard that. Just 50 cases. Okay. 50 cases. And then they narrow it down. Well, phone records played a key role in about 10 of those cases. Okay, so what happened in the other cases? You know, that's what I want to hear. I promised the payoff on the immigration bill because we didn't mention it at the top. Immigration bill, cutting the deficit, you heard me mention the big number, $175 billion, right? That's what they're saying. The CBO is saying it. That'll take 10 years. It's always 10 years. Everything's 10 years. So convenient, because by then, well, then you're not, sometimes you're not even running anymore for whatever office it is. But okay, 10 years from now, we'll talk about that. The idea is, okay, let's launch this. Let's get everyone on board and use whatever we have to do to shore this up and get the okays on both sides of the house, even though there are so many elements of this immigration bill that really are not going to wash with either side. But by saying that it would boost the economy, that is a perfect headline. This immigration bill is going to boost our economy. Don't we all want to make more money? Isn't that better for everyone in America if we can just do that? If we can just pump up the volume on jobs, for example, have more money coming in? I mean, wouldn't that be better? Think of the taxes. Think of the stuff that we could recoup. And I think that's where it's going to get twisted, and it's going to be very hard. How are you go after, think about this, somebody that's in the country, barely speaks English, I'm just saying, and then you're going to sit them down, tell them that they owe $20,000 or more in back taxes, which could be more, and probably is, and they have to speak fluent English, whatever fluent is, whoever decides what fluent is, and then they can get back on this road to citizenship, and then they'll be recognized that way. And see, here's the thing. Okay, the CBO is talking about what the net increase would be, but how about the money that's going to have to be spent for enhancing border security? How about what's going to have to be spent for creating new visa programs for low-skilled workers and high-skilled workers, for that matter, and this whole citizenship for 11 million-plus people that are in the country who are illegal, who are in here illegally? So that's not going to mesh, right? That's not going to mesh. That's the problem. So, yeah, sure, you say it boosts numbers in one way, but then raising the capital and all that stuff, but then think of what we lose on the other side of it. My, oh, my. It's easy to twist numbers in lots of different directions.
Boy, that escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
Over Organic, the Pureganic Companion ebook and cookbook sets a new standard for purity in our diet with a 100% toxin-free lifestyle. It's time for an American renaissance in health and quality of life. This book is loaded with simple methods to holistically eliminate disease, original recipes, a 30-day diet plan, and much more. Purchase now at PureGanicCompanion.com. The Pureganic Companion, the preventative maintenance manual for the human body.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.